One last note on Pound and Imagism. He wrote that it records the precise instant when a thing outward and objective transforms itself or darts into a thing inward and subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, and of course I'm again reading through Olson, I'm thinking of Olson's very heavy use of Whitehead as a source and how this sounds like he would be describing prehension. Whitehead prehension.
Mm-hmm.
So that not only are you looking out the window and you see that it's raining, but you see the rain is falling pretty steadily, heavily for this part of the world, even mm-hmm. for this part of the world that's used to a lot of rain. And yet you can see behind it the beautiful red and gold of the autumn mm-hmm. leaves. And so this is not something that you just happen to notice, but now becomes part of your field.
Mm-hmm.
You are prehending it. It is an extension of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Whitehead didn't have process and reality until 1937.
Mm-hmm.
So Pound is writing this before
mm-hmm.
Whitehead and probably is not able to avail himself of Whitehead thinking, but that's something that's a huge source for Olson. So that it records the precise instant when a thing outward and objective transforms itself or darts into a thing inward and subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So that really lays the groundwork for someone like Olson.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. I would like to read more Whitehead because every time I encounter Whitehead, I'm going, yes, I agree with this. And I think he's becoming actually, people are returning to him now as an important theorist, not just through the Olson, but as an aesthetician, trying to find a place really more for prehension and perception, because I think language has so dominated people's thought that somehow language is the first register, whereas someone like Olson and Whitehead and Pound realize that there's a state of perception that is quickly becomes language, or we don't have access to it without language, but that something's forming there in literally the perceptual modality.
Pre-anagogic, will we use that term?
Yeah. What's pre-anagogic?
So this before the language comes in. I would probably need to go to dictionary.com to mm-hmm. get that, but that's a phrase that comes to mind. Another phrase that comes to mind, which I don't really understand, and you use a couple of times in the book, is post-human.
Mm-hmm.
So could you elaborate on that term and how you use it in the book?
Okay, thanks. Post-human is coming to us out of various intellectual concepts and ideas. And it's a concept that comes from different quarters in different ways. But what post-human, and you could even say post-human is already there in someone like Darwin or Freud, meaning that the human agency, what we pride ourselves on as human beings in control ethically, aesthetically, politically of our existences, is in fact only part of who we are, and that we are as much controlled, created by forces that we are hardly aware of, so that a very humanistic poetry would always want to keep that self and that humanizing presence in the forefront of the poetry. A post-human poetry would recognize that the self is written on by language that we've already discussed, the self that language serves, that we don't use language, but language uses us. And I think more recently, some of the post-human stuff, and it's not really what I'm concentrating on, has to do with the machine, our computers, technology, the ways that we are part machine. I'm trying to think of Donna Haraway's The Cyborg, that we are cyborgs, that we are not as pleasantly ourselves as we would like in our fondest moments of feeling about ourselves, that we're not really that entity, but we are seriously other than the ways we think of ourselves.
You know, I'm still getting over Star Trek's depiction of humans as ugly bags of mostly water, and now this.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to take. No, what you're telling me also brings me back to another practice of outside poet, however you want, projective poet, Jack Spicer, who likened the poet to a radio that was tuned to a station from Mars to obtain the poetry. So there's a precedent in literature in terms of that, and especially in this vein of literature.